Hey there, this is Z.
And this is Amy.
You're listening to Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. Today, per usual, we do be criming or talking about criming, specifically the murder of Debbie Hawk, another woman murdered by her husband. Well, this time it was her ex-husband, and I think that makes it a kind of a little bit better because at least he left her, you know, before he, look, at least they weren't currently married. At least, you know, is that better or is that worse?
You know, either way, it's not nice, okay? How many times do we have to tell you, stop murdering people, especially your loved ones? Now, maybe as an ex, it was a no longer a loved one, but at some point, she was a loved one, maybe a liked one.
The people that you love the most are the people that you also have the capacity to hate the most, because love and hate are very intertwined. I know this because I'm married.
Absolutely. I relate to that so much. And this weekend, there were times in particular that I was so incredibly frustrated with certain loved ones that lived in my house, but I didn't murder them. Okay.
Everybody is still alive. I did a welfare check earlier. Everybody even has their fingers and toes.
All of them. No bruises either. Like nothing. I managed.
Oh, I can't say the same. My kids just fuck shit up. I just.
That's their own volition, though. Yeah, like that's not even you. That is, you know, I can't account for bruises when my kids come up to me and they're like, Mom, look at this. And I'm like, where did you get that? I don't know. Okay, cool. Well, that's
well, hard things. Cause look at this. Cause where'd I get this?
But you know, did I lose my shit? Yes. Multiple times. So many times that I even looked up some tools over the weekend to help keep me in check, because it's a process. Well, it's a process.
Does this lead into our show and tell of the week, Amy?
Why, yes, it does.
Oh.
You know it does. And I am interested to hear if you've heard of this line of products before. It's called Lifelines.
No, and I already read ahead in our show notes, so I know what it is. I can say with 100% confidence, I don't know this brand because
I think it's newish.
Okay,
I'd actually come across it. I wasn't only looking at stuff to help me not lose my shit, but I was looking at stuff for Easter for my niece, who's a little bit older, and I was looking for like travel stuff because you know it's travel season. But I came across this product. It's called Lifelines, and it really combines my love for essential oils and my want/need to not lose my shit. You guys just got back from a trip. We are about to head out on a trip. We are entering the season of travel. As an experience, traveling with my family or my husband or work or whatever is great. I love to travel. But I also want to crawl out of my skin while participating in such travel. The people, the stress, the smells, the stimulus, they make me like a little whacked out. I don't do well with it. I'm a super fun person to be around. So don't forget that.
We got back from the road trip. I will say, I do think that a road trip is like my new favorite thing that I like to do with the people.
Really?
We traveled a lot at night, and we only drove to one destination. So we did, like, a five-hour stint and then, like, a two-hour stint. And then Aurora started vomiting all over the hotel room we were in, so we decided we needed to leave that hotel room. And then we just did an eight-hour stint altogether on the way back home. But it was overnight, and I will say, like, that to me was a lot less stimulating than the airplane travel that we normally do. But I'm with you. I'm with you, and so I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to hear. Okay, so what products specifically?
They have a lot of different things. So for a long time, I've always turned to oils in my house. It is something that Z and I have talked about. Z, if you are looking for edumacation on oils, Z's your lady. So, like, go and talk to her. But I use them for, like, not only when someone is sick, but also as a form of, like, stress relief and extra oomph when somebody's sick. I'm also the girly that wants all the gadgets. Like, if it's going to help me, like, calm, center myself, do all those things, please take my money. I have the breathing necklaces. I've talked about those on here. Fidgets, earplugs, dry brushes, you name it, I'm going to try it. Like, it's just, it's my thing. So, long story longer, I found this line at Target, and you can get it on the Zon as well. I looked it up. You can get them on Amazon. But they have so many creative ways to help you find your center, like if that's your thing. Stuff that I never would have really thought about. So they have like a line of pens that have a diffuser in the pen. So so like if you're writing a lot or you're doing journaling or whatever, like that's kind of a cool thing. You could like put some oils in the end.
So lemon for in the morning or lavender for at night.
Right.
And so
that helps. Or if you have like a special blend, that you like to
that just makes you feel comfy and cozy or creative.
Or if you're like a person who gets easily stressed out when like making their to-do list, this might be a really cool way to adjust that. I also noticed they have colored pencils that are infused with essential oils. Now, they have a line of oils. I tend to be particular and picky about where I get my oils from.
Yeah, I'm super snobby.
But some of the scents seemed pretty dope. So I think I would be willing to try them for, like, the scent factor and maybe not so much like the whatever. But they had, like, cool long walks. I don't know. That just sounds, like, earthy and, like, nice to, like, use or whatever. So a lot of their products come with oils themselves. There were a couple of kits that you could just get the things. But they had fidgets that you can put oil in. They have, like, a grounding stone and, like, little clicky things and, like, a roller thing. And, you know, I love fidgets. I like to use them at my desk if I'm in meetings or whatever. But they're very made for kids. Like, they're bright colors and I'm a neutrals girl. Like, I just want a nice, calm caffeine.
You
want
to look at it and for it to be pretty, too. So I'm in that phase of life where I'm like, no, it's okay if I get special containers for all the things. If I look at that special container and it's pink and sparkly and I smile and think, oh, because I'm taking care of my things and I'm using it over and over and over. It's okay to have silly little things for silly little things. And be happy about it. That's okay.
Especially when those silly little things have a purpose
and
are useful for other things. If I have really cute pens, I'm going to be more likely to use those pens and to not lose them because they're my favorite pens and I really like them. I am a notebook girl. I love a good notebook. I love a good, you know, a pretty outside of a notebook, a journal type thing. But these, they have like one that has like an hourglass in it, you know, like where you could turn it and it's got like sand. There's just so many different things. Not anything I've ever seen before that it's like really geared towards adults or folks that are not into like bright blue, bright purple. You know, my kids have so many fidgets and it's all like neon, which is great for them, but not so great for me. So I really, really love them. I've linked them in the show notes. I've of course ordered a bunch of them for myself and for my niece, but I've got them linked in the show notes in our Amazon store, along with some of the other sensory items, since they kind of go along with that. We will make sure to check with Z if she's got any sensory things to pop in that little section. If this calls to you, check them out. They were definitely something that made me feel, I don't know, just a little bit like refreshed and excited to not lose my shit.
And to use your oils again, because I mean, I know that they work for me and smell in general, the art of smelling things brings you back places. There are so many different studies about how your sense of smell just triggers so many things, especially your emotional response to things. So then having those tools to remember to use those things, if that's what's important to you or that's what you're wanting to focus on, or you know that that's what's helpful to you in that circumstance, is just really smart. Just like that emotional support water bottle. Like if you're looking at getting a new one, get you a new one. You use it every day. Go for it. It helps you drink your water.
I have one and I've covered it with funny, cool stickers that I like to look at and that make me laugh. So yes, I love that. You know what else you could put on it? A Curse Words and Crayons sticker.
At www.cursewordsandcrayons.com.
Every episode, you have to find the shameless plug. Why would we not? Why not? It's the best. So, yes, check them out. But shall we case it up?
Yes, this one is less horrific than the last case that we did. The last time that we met for a case was the Hello Kitty case, yeah?
No, that's going to be our next one.
Oh, well, okay, well.
Well, spoiler alert, it's going to be terrible. So stay tuned.
Well, that's the one that I just edited. So
amazing.
Horrific. And
I love it.
This one's not as bad.
So enjoy a break. And then next week, come back for Schmurder Schmurder Town.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Whoops. Okay. I also spilled the beans in the intro about what's about to go down. So regardless, let's start at the beginning together. We have a tale to tell.
Cannot wait.
So the son of Stan and Lois Hawk, David, he goes by Dave. Martin Hawk. He met Deborah after their mutual friends set them up on a blind date in the late 1980s. So this is another super cute blind date situation. They were married within a year and they built a home among his family's almond groves, which I think is so sweet. They gave birth to three children within 9 years of marriage. They had Conrad, Chelsea, and Savannah. I don't know why Savannah and not another C name.
Right. Like, you've already started
the trend.
It
wasn't my decision. Yeah.
I got to name my kids what I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But that's on them. Apparently, maybe they couldn't do any more C names. They didn't want to be the CCCs. So.
Maybe, yeah.
So according to court documents, Stan, so that was his dad, he set up trust funds for each of the children in October of 1997. And he funded the accounts with cash and securities that October. So the court documents also state that Debbie and Dave were the original co-trustees on the accounts. Yet, their marriage ended in 1998. Debbie filed, if you wanted to know, because, I mean, I for sure did. So I'm all about knowing all the tea. If you wanted to know, Debbie was the one that filed. After the divorce proceedings began, Dave's father, Stan, set up another trust fund account for each child and stopped depositing money into the first batch of accounts. Makes sense, right? Like, they're not married anymore, and so he has new accounts.
Okay.
She doesn't want ex-wife on the accounts anymore because this is grandpa. Right? So he doesn't want ex-wife on the accounts anymore. So he sets up these new ones, but Dave
is the only trustee. Okay.
Is the sole trustee, okay? But these
it makes sense to me, but now it does. But I also wonder why he didn't set up the accounts until 97. They'd been married for like 9 years at that point, and they got divorced in 98. So that to me seems a little like,
Okay. So there's some alarm bells there. But honestly, it checks out to me. Other than that, other than why did he do it later, but I get it.
I know, like, my in-laws set up stuff for Hayden and Milo, and it wasn't, like, as soon as they were born. Like, it was a couple years later. So I guess maybe it's not that weird.
Maybe
by
the time the third child was born, they were like, we should probably get our shit together.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because Aurora has a savings account now, but she didn't until Ren was born. I was like, okay.
We should probably let you go to college or whatever you want. I don't know.
Yeah, well, now she also has more than like $5 in an envelope sitting in Roberto's study from grandma and grandpa sending her cards in the mail. So now it's like actually worth it. But either way,
yes,
I know sometimes you don't start doing certain things until.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, or maybe there was a health scare. Regardless, it doesn't matter. We aren't in charge of that either. So.
Right. No one asked for my opinion.
Exactly. Anyways, like, it just goes to show you never know what's going on behind closed doors. So 100%. They were together. They weren't together. She filed. Grandpa opens a new trust. So now Dave, he is the sole trustee person for his dad's money, which, like, again, honestly makes sense, right?
For sure. Yeah. So Dave starts dating somebody named Mary Royer during the divorce proceedings. Always a little sketchy when they start dating somebody so quickly. I mean, I get it. Some people marriages.
I don't.
Happens.
Just in general, and maybe this is like a female default woman thing. In general, you won't be catching me getting with anybody else who wants to touch my body.
No. 100% no for me. But also this Mary Royer, she's the like the date-e, not the date-er. If I, so Mary is the one that's not married, so Debbie is not moving on to somebody else, and Dave seems like a dirtbag. So I guess I can kind of see that, but I'm with you. I don't want to get married. I've always told Chris, we're not getting a divorce. Everything's fine. But I've always said, if we ever get a divorce, there's a good chance I will not marry anybody else. I'm fine.
I will never be with anybody else for the rest of my life. I will just asexual it out until at least the kids are 18, I feel like.
For real. I just don't know that I could. It's a lot.
Where would I fit in dating? Would I want to put pants on for dates? I don't think so.
So, I mean, your dates could be wildly popular if you're just going on a lot of pants.
Those aren't the dates that I want to be going on as a single woman. How uncomfortable. Except for, have you seen the no pants trend, though? Just, like, as a real, just side topic. Where they wear the sparkly, like, panties and, like, men's shirts.
I've not seen this. That's okay. A choice that I would not make, but I get it.
Okay, I might. Or sometimes they'll wear the, like, sheer skirts over, like...
Okay, I have seen that. Okay, I could see that.
A full-butted thing, but they're icky. Like, I would just wear a lot of body armor because I run, and so I...
Oh, yeah, that's true. You've got all the tricks. Maybe that's why Dave started dating Mary Royer. But
maybe she had the tricks.
Maybe she had the no pants date. Also, she ran an in-home daycare, and she was the kid's teacher.
Ugh.
Which I don't, I get, I guess, if you've ever fallen in love with your kid's teacher, no shade, but I find that really strange. And I know, as I was thinking about it,
it's very with the nanny.
That right, like that person takes care of your kids and they love your kids, so like you love them. But it gives me the ick. I'm not into it, but it is what it is. So the divorce wasn't finalized until 2000. They got divorced in 1998, so it was a couple of years, not a ton, but a few. And when the divorce was finalized, Mary moved into the Hawk home with Dave the same year in October. So at some point in 2000, it was finalized. By October, old Mary had moved in. Mary later testified how Dave had commented that there wasn't enough punishment in the world for all the crimes Debbie had committed against him, and regularly blamed her for hurting him and his children, for hurting him and taking his children away. So lots and lots of resentment. It doesn't seem like an amicable split. Something is red flagging it to all the red flags. This does not seem good. Now, if I was Mary, I might be a little alarmed. But maybe Debbie was not a nice person. I don't know much about her. I don't want to speak ill of old Debbie, but...
There's a big difference between, like, trashing your ex when you're, like, teenagers getting together and then, sure. Like, truly, truly trashing your ex like that. I mean, they would have to be... Unless he had just really mind warped her to thinking that she was just this, that Debbie was just this awful, awful, awful human. It would be such a red flag to me to hear somebody going on and on and on about their ex. Like, I don't want to hear, right. I don't want to be in competition with somebody that you're no longer with, who is also the fucking mother of your children.
Right. And I don't ever want, I mean, my kids, Chris and I are not getting a divorce, but also I feel like I've said that a lot this episode, which makes it seem like we are, and we're not. Right. What I mean is, like, we are not in that situation, and I still do my best to not say anything if I'm mad at him or I'm upset or whatever, to not say anything bad about him in front of my kids, because that isn't fair to put them in that situation. So, like, I know you see some people, they're like, well, your dad did blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I mean, if I'm mad at you, like, that's my ish. Like, I'll take that up with you later. And your ex, it's even harder because then the kids aren't together. It's such a tricky situation. So to me, huge red flag. Mary obviously noticed it because she testified with that information, but she didn't really seem to do much about it. Another thing that was going on during the divorce proceedings is that Dave was unemployed between 1999 and the summer of 2000 when he managed to secure a job with the Central California Almond Growers Association, which is not something I explored as a career, but then also, remember, his family owns, like, almond groves. Like, that's their trade, which I think is so interesting, but somebody's got to grow almonds, I guess.
They
but.
Live on an almond grove.
Right, which I think is, like, pretty cool. But
that
also,
magical to me.
I'm not interested in, like, picking almonds all day. But
no, but I do like almonds.
I do, too. They're delicious. So he gets a job, but then he leaves that job in the spring of 2001, and he remains unemployed through November of 2005. So I'm not really sure what his hesitation to working is, how they made their money. I'm assuming Mary was still working full time, but Mary also states that at the time, she and Dave lived primarily on his deposits that he was putting into their joint checking account. Mary claimed that he had said the money was coming from investments. I'm not very good with investments, not really my thing, but that seems sketchy to me. If Chris was just depositing a bunch of money into our accounts, I would be concerned.
Yes, you should be. But at the same point in time, if you're not in charge of the finances, I mean, if somebody was like, for a little bit, Roberto's been out of work. And if somebody was like, oh, how did y'all live? I don't know. There was money in the bank account. What do you mean, how did we live? We used
right,
the money.
Continuously, he's depositing money into that account saying, oh, these are from investments. I mean, we have some money, like some investment money, and it's not bringing in enough for us to live off of now. Now, eventually, for sure. But who knows? Maybe Dave is a financial wizard, but newsflash, he's not, because this is where it gets tricky.
Yes, it is. So Debbie filed a motion in October of 2000. She claimed that Dave had been withdrawing money from the first set of trust accounts. Remember, that's the set that she is on.
That they're both on, yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't, because I guess you couldn't close it or whatever. I don't know why he didn't just, like, drain those previously. The dad, Stan, Dave's dad. I don't know why Stan didn't drain those and put them into the other account, but like whatever.
I'm sure it's like tax related and all
fair
that
enough.
Kind of business. Yeah.
So, and then this dumbass, his kid, Dave, is so stupid. That's where he draws it out first, because he's like, oh, those aren't really mine. Those are the ones with me and my ex. So, that's what
I was
thinking.
But like, also, I can see that. So stop doing that. Like, I don't know why he's not draining the second ones, because
exactly.
Maybe I guess they don't have enough money. Like, they don't have the same amount. They don't have as many investments, maybe.
Maybe.
But I'm like, you idiot, I can see what you're doing.
Right? So he fessed up to $1,500, but he claimed that it was for surgery for their daughter. But that was found to be false. So when it was proven otherwise, the court ordered Dave to be dismissed as the trustee on the accounts. And this was on January 8th, 2001. And he was also forced to reimburse the money with interest. So he was ordered to pay $45,000 and transfer and divide certain stocks and pay her attorney fees and costs. So the Department of Child Services, DCSS, found Dave did pay child support regularly in June of 2001. Later, in July of 2002, during a hearing, they actually found out that he was behind 14 months. So I guess that's kind of when he stopped paying. So in 2002, they found out that he's behind $7,400. Okay. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
But also not, but yes, I mean, that was 14 months later. So for 14 months being behind, I mean, but anyways, that's
yeah.
An amount. So by April of 2004, Dave had applied for a mortgage loan for $201,000 to refinance the existing mortgage on his property. And according to court documents, he committed fraud. Because he used his children's name as the registrant, like as the people on this fictitious business name, statement to verify that he wasn't self-employed. So he said he wasn't self-employed. So he's doing all these fucking crazy things. So he's like getting, like he's trying to refinance his house. Like it's obvious he's running out of money. Like he stole from his kid's trust. He had to refinance his house. He's fucking lying to refinance his house. He's getting a mortgage loan. And he approached DCSS in November of 2005 and he requested to modify his child support. He believed his former wife earned more than he did, which probably true, but
if you're not working,
fucking
but still,
work.
Yeah.
Like do something. Like you, I mean, find something, play the stock market. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, like find a way to help provide.
Right. Why are you not working? That's what I don't ever understand. Like, okay, people don't work for lots of reasons or people choose to stay out of the workforce for lots of reasons, but like, why not? Why aren't you working? If the issue is that you don't have enough money, why are you not working?
What do you do all day?
No kidding.
Like if, okay, I know what I do all day because I manage the house and the kids.
You're taking care of children. It's not just that you're choosing not to work. You're taking care of kids. That's a different thing.
Once your household makes a certain amount of money, I also understand that that can be a full-time job too. Dealing with the stuff. No, but all the things and the assets and this, that, and the other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You need like a house manager and a lot of times the wife becomes the house manager.
Why not that be you? Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. But this isn't that.
That's not the case. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't that here. So. He also filed a response asking for increased custody and decreased child support in 2006, which makes sense because if you have more custody, then you should pay less in child support. Personally, that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree because you're paying for the day-to-days.
Yes, because then if you're, you know, instead of providing for food outside of your home, you are providing for food inside of your home.
Right.
Regardless, Debbie's attorney subpoenaed Dave's financial records and the children's trust account statements to find that he had taken thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from the kids' trust accounts.
Those are your kids, man.
If you're in financial trouble, I understand using what is available to you. Like my kid's savings account is the quickest thing that I would use, to be honest, in case of an emergency. Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, I'm sorry. We were trying to do really good by setting you up. Extra
right,
amazing.
And there's a time when
but I needed
that
to provide for you
right,
at that time that we were in, or else you weren't going to have a home, or I wasn't going to be able to put you in this activity that, as silly as that might sound, but oh, then you couldn't have done this activity and you like wouldn't shut the fuck up about how you were going to be the next Simone Biles. And so therefore, obviously, you had to go to gymnastics camp all summer, whatever that might be, like fill in the blank. I mean, sometimes. But yeah, just if you're not working and you're like lying about it and then you're stupid enough to start stealing money in the first place from the joint account that you have with your ex-wife.
That's a decision that both people would have to make together where it's like, listen, I don't have the money to support our kids. And so maybe my decision is I'm going to have you not pay child support because you can't work for whatever reason. It's just a discussion that needs to be had versus just like doing whatever the hell you want. Like you guys are now entwined. You have if you no longer have a romantic relationship, you at least
you
have
still
a business relationship and you have to deal with this like together. So Debbie was scheduled to pick the kids up from his house around 5:45 on June 13th, 2006. She didn't show up. So he offers to take the kids to their mother's, which was in Hanford. And her three children walked into her home. And they found a trail of blood leading to the garage, and the van was missing. Though she was never seen again, Dave was convicted in 2009 of murdering her and sentenced to life without parole. Since his conviction, the whereabouts of Debbie's body was a mystery until 2016, so about 7 years later, the Hanford police captain, Carl Anderson, said Dave Hawk is the murderer. We all know that. His last little bit of control that he was able to deprive his family of was closure, and now they have that. So her body was found in 2016. He chose a spot that was familiar to him, but not to many other people. He knew for a variety of reasons that nobody would farm the burial site anytime soon, which makes me think she was buried in the almond groves.
Probably.
I'm assuming somewhere on their
property. Why would she not be?
Right, because that's where you're going to hide a body. And in, like, a field where nobody's going to, like, right, upturn the ground.
And why would the field not be upturned? And who would know that? Except for the people intimately involved in
right.
the orchard or grove. Do they call
right.
it orchard? A grove?
The grove, I think.
The grove beyond Chion. You know, I don't know.
But they realized that for a variety of reasons, the owner, the landowner of that area, so it was probably not a property that he even owned. It was a landowner of that area started to remove some of the topsoil for like grading, so like for farming. And over the next 6 years, so she died when 2009. In 2010, they started grading this land, but it wasn't until 6 years later that they had dug far enough that they churned and tilled, and her jawbone had appeared. So that's how they found her body, was they were, like, redoing the grounds.
Why would he drive the kids over there? Like, okay, so this is the question that I have. If you killed your spouse, your ex, why are you going to drive the kids over there knowing full well, like, what you're going to find? Or, like, okay, I guess it's because he didn't leave the body behind.
But there was a trail of blood.
That has to be really traumatic. I do not know how old the kids are. Either way, it for at least one of them, so traumatic.
I just don't understand, like, I could see if he was trying to plan like she was missing, that he would show up and be like, oh no, she's not here, like, what's happening?
Then you get out of the car first and leave the kids in their seatbelts
right.
buckled
what's
up.
What's the plan, friend? Like,
go give a knockaroo on the door before you just barge up with all the kids. That's what's confusing to me. I don't understand. That's the only thing that I'm like, well, if I murdered my spouse, I would have made a different decision with that. So that's the only thing to me that makes him seem not as guilty.
The only thing that seems like a trend with men folk who murder their women folk is that, like, she's missing, what happened, and, like, they're trying to act like they had no idea. Because if he didn't take them home and she never picked them up, would it have been weird if he just, like, oh, well, you're never going home again? Like, that would be odd. Like, how would you explain that? But I get what you're saying, too, because it's why traumatize your children.
Yes, but also, if I continue to call whoever's watching my kid, if I'm driving to their home and I continue to call over and over and over and over again and they don't answer their cell phone,
yeah.
Do I turn around at that point or do I still show up at their house? And
then
when I show up at their house, my thing is, okay, well, maybe something happened. So maybe they need an adult and not the children. So, like, maybe I knock.
Right. Maybe she's passed out or something.
Yay!
Yeah, like maybe fallen,
she,
or she's in
yeah, maybe office. She got day drunk. Maybe she hit her head getting out of the bath. Like, maybe she had really low blood sugar. I don't know.
Yeah,
okay?
Who knows?
Yeah, maybe she committed suicide.
Right.
I would think that about. I mean, that would have raised a whole different other flags. But that was my thought process. Is like, oh, what if they died and I'm just showing up and they shot themselves? Like, that's awful. And I should have, you know, would have reached out for different. Anyways, it's all confusing. It's weird.
And if I didn't host a true crime podcast, I probably would not think anything. Like, I would probably be like, well, let's go over there and see what's going on. because I do, in fact, host a true crime podcast, I would immediately go to murder. Like, there's something wrong with her. Oh, something's for sure. going on.
But because we host a true crime podcast, I am less likely to get involved.
100%. I'm going to call them cops. My ex-wife never showed up to pick up the kids. Somebody else go check on them. Which, so you're saying you don't think he did it because he drove over to the house?
No, I 100% think he did it. I'm just saying this is the one thing that makes him look slightly where I'm like,
Got it. Yeah, because what would have really made him look like, you're maybe innocent is like, why didn't you call the police and have them come over? Like, have them discover the drop of glass. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Okay, maybe he would have looked sus as fuck if he would have called the police.
That's true.
And, oh, the one who called was the ex-husband? What?
Right.
The one who hates her? The one who killed her?
Right. The one who's constantly talking about how there's no punishment.
It's very Rebecca Zhao.
Yes.
That was a thriller.
The moral of this story is that men are dumb.
Men are dumb.
So that is the end. That's our case for today.
Bye!
Men are stupid. See ya. Another senseless crime from a senseless person with no sense and is stupid. I really wish that wasn't always the case, but it is. And here we are. Thanks for tuning in. We think you're great. Come back next week when we will be discussing the highly suggested Hello Kitty murders. I know nothing about them, but spoiler alert from the beginning of this episode, Z says it's terrible. So let's hope that we are ready to stomach that. Come not eating food while you're listening.
Yeah, come fasted. Come
we'll see.
Fasted and ready. Race ready.
I am intrigued. I cannot wait. Until then, stay safe, be aware of internet scams, and don't forget to take a breath. We're proud of you. Goodbye.